Justification, if you know, read the note at the bottom of the Te Deum Laudamus, follows the same theme, doesn't it? Grace to and peace from God, who alone deserves our complete loyalty and commitment, as Jesus teaches us today. I read these verses from the Gospel lesson. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk, and they asked him, "Tell us, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" This is God's word. In Jesus' name. Now when these Pharisees came to Jesus one day asking whether or not it was permitted or lawful for them to pay taxes to Caesar or not, they really weren't interested in his opinion on matters of church and state. That wasn't the point. St. Matthew tells us they wanted to entangle him in what he would say so they could get him entrapped. Jesus refused to take the bait. As Matthew puts it, he was aware of their malice. Now today we can get caught up in these kinds of useless debates ourselves, these kinds of conflicting ideas which are intended merely to confuse us and cause us to compromise our faithfulness and loyalty to the only one who deserves such loyalty, and that is God Himself. In life we can find ourselves, I don't know about you, but we can find ourselves torn between loyalty to God and His kingdom, on the one hand, and then on the other hand, loyalty to our family, our friends, our job, our education, our creature comforts, for example. Perhaps worse, we can find ourselves in conflict between what our old Adam wants and what our new man, Jesus in us, wants for us. And trying to balance this is a difficult thing. How do I remain loyal to God and loyal to the things of this world, or as Jesus puts it, loyalty to God and to Caesar? Are we to have divided, mixed loyalties? These questions, of course, raise a deeper question. What does it mean to be a Christian living in a world and society that is so often against everything we hold to be important, everything we hold to be faithful and true? This has always been a problem for Christians. It goes way back. The great church father, St. Augustine, who influenced Martin Luther quite a bit, by the way, his writings did, wrote an entire treatise. It's quite lengthy. Some of you maybe have read it, entitled The City of God, in which he discussed this issue. How does the city of God, the church, live in a secular world? For after all, the church, as he puts it, is a stranger in this world. And of course, the issue for us today is, do we get too comfortable in this world that we are no longer strangers in the world? We sometimes become strangers to the kingdom of God more than strangers to the world. How we talk, how we spend our money, what excites us, what motivates us, often reflects that we are more comfortable in the world than we are in the church. And the sad tragedy today in many churches is many are importing the secular culture into the church, the music of the culture, the practices of the culture, the language and talk of the culture. So sometimes you can't even tell the difference between what is the church and what is the secular culture. In Jesus' day, the people found themselves torn between loyalties. On the one hand, they knew God's law. It demanded that they have no gods. The first commandment made that clear. You shall have no other gods before me. By the way, that is not the best translation. That implies that God wants to be first in line. You shall have no gods before me. That's not what the Hebrew text says. The Hebrew text says, get all the other gods out of my face. You shall have no other gods in my presence. God is the only God. He wants no other gods there. He's not first in line. He's the only one. They knew that. And they were not allowed to make any images of God or any other creatures in this creation. And they were to drive out all foreigners from their land, for it was God's land given to them. And God had given them this land so that they might be fruitful and multiply in it. On the other hand, here they found themselves torn between loyalties. Their land given to them by God had been invaded by the Roman Empire. So here they found themselves now living under the boot of the Roman government, forced to pay taxes with money that had the inscription of Caesar himself with these words: Tiberius Caesar, the high and mighty exalted son of the god Augustus, the high priest. Well, that certainly conflicted with their faith, which forbade images of any god and the worship of any false gods of any kind. So how would they answer the question? How would Jesus answer the question? Is it right and lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Would he forbid them to pay taxes and therefore collaborate with the Roman government, which could be accused of being treasonous because, after all, the Roman government required taxes? Jesus could then be arrested, executed by the government. Or would he say that they should go ahead and pay the taxes? Then he would lose his popularity with the people who hated the Roman government. And they viewed Jesus as some messianic figure who would restore the great kingdom of David back to Israel. What about you today? What is the Caesar in your life that competes with your loyalty to God and his kingdom? Is it your job? Your spouse? Your friends? Your safety and security and your creature comforts in this present world? We are all faced every day with choosing between God and Caesar. How do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? Your leisure time? What about the choices you make in life? Just as the Pharisees wanted to distract Jesus from his mission and deter him from being faithful to God, so the world would tempt us also to try to divide our loyalties between God and this world, and in effect, not be faithful as we should to God. But what was Jesus' response to this? He would let nothing deter him from his mission. The devil had tried that earlier, 3 years before. Remember the temptation account? How the devil tries to tempt Jesus that you've got to take care of your immediate needs. God the Father isn't taking care of you. Command these stones to become bread. Take care of yourself. What was Jesus' response? He would have died rather than deny his faithfulness to God his Father. Be gone, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve, even if I have to starve to do it. Then Matthew adds the note, then the devil left him. As then, Jesus in our text 3 years later would not let the devil himself drag him into some kind of debate about how he should divide his loyalties. Maybe he should be more faithful to Caesar. After all, that was the ruling government. What about his fidelity to God? How are you going to balance those two things? Jesus would not let that kind of debate interrupt his mission. He came to be the Lamb of God, to be faithful to God's mission, to die for the sins of the world. He would not let this silly argument about should I give this to God and that to Caesar, how to divide that, distract him from what he came to do. And so in response to their malicious question, Jesus does a very interesting and brilliant. He says, do you have a coin for the tax? Anybody? They produce it right away. And they produce a Roman coin, dirty money, and there's the inscription, to Tiberius Caesar, the august, great, divine emperor. And they show it to Jesus. And he looks at the coin, he gives it back to them, and he says, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. A brilliant parry, deflecting their malicious intention, showing their hypocrisy, for here they had that dirty money right in their pockets. And he knew what their intentions were. It was all hypocritical to try to trip him up. So our Lord Jesus, as we know the rest of the story, permitted not the devil nor the devil's agents to distract him from his mission. He went to the cross. That's why God sent him here, to be the Lamb of God, to die. Nothing got in the way. No creature comforts got in the way. He went to the cross to lay down his life as a ransom payment for your sins and mine, for the sins of the whole world. And just as 3 years earlier, Jesus had defeated the devil, and we have that little phrase, how the devil left him, we have deja vu here in this text. For when Jesus tells the Pharisees, why are you trying to trick me with your malicious hypocrisy? It says, when they heard Jesus' answer, they marveled, and like the devil 3 years earlier, they left him and went away. What about you and me? We have been buried and raised with Jesus in the waters of holy baptism. We are, as Paul puts it, in Christ, connected tightly and closely to Him. Nothing should deter us either from being faithful to God in His kingdom. Our primary first loyalty must always be, as Christians, to the gospel and to God's word. And by the way, Jesus today is certainly not teaching us that we should have divided loyalties to church and state, to God and the kingdom of this world. Seek first God's kingdom, Jesus says, and His righteousness. For Scripture reminds us we are strangers and exiles in this world. Unfortunately, we don't often live that way. Listen to King David. We are all strangers before You, O Lord, and sojourners as our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is nothing abiding. As we sing in that old hymn, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Isn't it a sad commentary on us, though, that we often live as though this is our home, and the church is where we are strangers? We can quote the stock market better than the Bible verses. We know more about the history of the United States than the history of God's people in the Old Testament. What is wrong with us here? Are we really strangers in this world? Do we really believe that heaven is our true home? Scripture says that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness. That's what this world is, a domain of darkness. He has transferred us into the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of all our sins. Jesus bought us with His own blood. He has paid our debt for us. As Scripture says, you have been bought with a price. So honor God with your bodies. So what is the Caesar in your... Everybody can pay attention over here. She'll find her way out. What is the Caesar in your life that is tempting you to compromise your loyalty to God, your fidelity to His church, to divide your loyalty, your attention, so that you're more excited and interested in things of this world than the church? We should not forget the Caesars in this world enticing us to follow them and divide our loyalties between God and them are very fragile and temporary. I'd like you to answer me, where is the great, august, imposing Caesar of Rome today? Do you even know who the Caesars were? Where, for that matter, is the Roman Empire today? But what about all those denarii? That was what they called their money. I imagine there were people back there who would have given their life to have a bucket full of denarii. Today we don't even care. What about dollars? You think the day may come when a dollar doesn't make any difference either? Where will be all those things that are constantly tightening us to divide our loyalties so that we are not faithful to God and His gospel? Listen to what St. John warns us. The desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes, the pride of possessions, and we all have it. I'm guilty of it, so are you. We can't help it. This is not from the Father, it is from the world. And then John goes on to remind us, soberly, the world is passing away with all its desires. And those of us who have been around the block a few times know that's true. What was it that excited you 30 years ago? What kind of clothes did you wear when you were 5 or 10 years old? Do you wear those kind of clothes today? What about the music you listen to? Do you like the same music today you listened when you were 3 or 4 years old? The world, in its present form, is passing away. This is not from the Father. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Or as Jesus Himself has taught us, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. But here's the problem. You're all thinking about it already. Here's the problem. We do need mammon. We do need money to live in this world, don't we? We have to pay our taxes. We have to hold down a job. Don't we have to buy groceries? Do we have to pay the doctor's bills? Pay property taxes and so on? St. Paul understood this. And so he wrote to the Christians in Rome, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. But as we do this and live in a secular world, we remember Scripture's warning. We must always obey God rather than men. And if our service to Caesar ever conflicts with our true loyalty to God, we know what the decision must be. Again, we must obey God rather than men. And so as we live out our lives in this world as Christians, it's not an easy thing. Every day, we are faced with conflicting loyalties which get in the way of our faithfulness to God and His kingdom. And every day, we fail at this. We find ourselves being more devoted to the things of this world than to the kingdom of God. And every night, we go to bed and ask God to forgive us. We get up in the morning and say, "But I'm baptized. I'm going to try again today." And we know that God forgives us. Jesus, though, has taught us today that we've got to be constantly coming back to this point. And that is, let nothing get in the way of God's kingdom in your life. How do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? What consumes your thoughts in any given day? What excites you and interests you the most any given week? As we wend our way through this confusing world, we should let nothing get in the way or distract us on our way to heaven. For again, we are but strangers here. Heaven is our home. Or as we pray in today's collect, I love this collect, critical words. Oh God, have mercy on us all, that we may so pass through things temporal, and we all have to do that we lose not the things that are eternal. And what you will receive in a few moments at this altar is eternal. The promise of your salvation assured you by the body and blood of Jesus. Let Caesar not get in the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in confessing our Christian